Hello again, this is World Pastor. This is part 158 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program number 260. Get your pen and paper ready so that you can, at the end of the program, Sharon will tell you how to receive a copy of a audio tape or the CD. Is program number 260. It's free of charge, and the postage and handling is paid for as well. I received salvation free of charge. The Lord never charged me one penny, but He's blessed me for receiving the truth, the gospel, His word. And He's blessed me tremendously to where I, who have never ever thought about preaching the gospel or teaching it, now have been in the ministry for 42 years, and I'm willing to go another 42 if the Lord so desires. I'd rather be present with the Lord than to be in my body here right now, but however long He wants me, He knows I'm very willing to do it. So right now we have some letters from foreign lands, and the continuation of yesterday's message from the 12th chapter of the book of Job. And right now, let's go to the throne to ask the Lord how to bless this, ask Him to bless this message today. Lord, I know You know how to bless this message, to pour out Your outward anointing on me. You hear the faintest prayer. If we have the faith of the grain of mustard seed, the tiniest seed in the world, whatsoever we ask You, that is in prayer, which is our shield, it'll be done unto us. So that means that if we have the faith of a grain of a little tiny shield, or if which is prayer, if we have the smallest prayer, the smallest grain of a prayer to go up to You, no matter what problem it is, what mountain it is, that You'll remove it if we'll just ask. And Lord, we ask that souls will be saved by this tape, by Your anointing, by You using my lips to speak through, and that You'll anoint everyone that appears on this tape so that the souls in the world will be saved, and that more fear will come down upon the church, that they don't fall away, that they will stop from not serving You and get back to You before it's everlastingly too late. Before You, in their lukewarmness, before You spit them out of Your mouth. Father, let souls be saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I did an album not long ago with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. And the title of the album is I, John. And so that's what we're going to do right now. I, John.
Well, and I, John, saw a mighty number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east, three gates in the north, three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, come mighty, you will I join some mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, will I join some mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, oh, John declared, he saw a man, he had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Well, he felt the gospel coming like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, "John, take a look. Read what you see and then write a book." He saw 12 angels in the east, 12 angels in the west, 12 angels in the north, 12 angels in the south, 48 angels to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, we got the money to the left on the mighty number. Way up in the middle of the air, left on the mighty number. Way up in the middle of the air.
Well, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a double-edged sword. It goes right into a person, cuts right into the very fiber of their souls. And if they receive it, they're saved. But if it they don't receive it, then it swings back as a double edge and sends their soul right into hell. Because you can, there's only two things that you can do with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to either receive it or reject it. If you say, "Well, I'll wait and see," you're rejecting it. And that's a very dangerous thing for you, because God is not a kidder. He's a loving God to bring the gospel to you, but if you don't receive it, he's a very severe God. And, you know, he's not kidding around. He's warning people in so many different ways today. That it's the end of time. We're already in the tribulation period. We're in the beginning of sorrows. You see the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the pestilence, the horrible diseases that are occurring to people. One out of every three people in Africa have AIDS. And then a bunch of other ones of them have Ebola. And they've got, and I think it's one out of four people in the United States has some dreadful disease like that. And then one of the number one killers is a heart disease and cancer, which was really not that prevalent just a few years ago. And then the food is contaminated, and these lobbyists from food companies here in Washington, D.C., making sure that you don't know all the contamination in the world, such as there's a warning that the Lord told us not to eat. Of course, we don't eat shellfish or pork or any unclean thing like that. And people try to make it look as though those sheets that came down from heaven to Peter, where he saw all these animals, all that was doing was showing animals are representative of the different countries. And it was just showing Peter that now we can preach the gospel to the Gentiles, us Jews. It wasn't saying anything. Now eat, take, eat. You can eat all these pigs and snakes and eagles and stuff like that. Who would ever eat an eagle sandwich? It's the same thing as eating a vulture sandwich or a barbecued vulture. I mean, it's ridiculous. But now they say that almost all the beef in the United States has a form of mad cow disease. And that naturally, all dairy comes from cows or goats. And the Lord told me a few years ago, don't eat any more beef. And I love beef. And don't eat any dairy products. And I thought, my God, this is one-third of the whole market. I go in the market and there's this big line of cheese and butter and all the things I love. And then the ice cream department, which I loved. And the Lord said, don't eat any more of that. I didn't ask him why. Lord, why? Because I know the Lord is right, but I checked it and checked it, and he says, no more. Now it's coming out in health food books all over the place. We just got one the other day. Can you come over and just give them a little brief on it, Sharon, on that, just, you know, from what you remember about it, on this mad cow disease and the beef situation and the dairy in this country?
Right. This very knowledgeable man that wrote this book about how to stay healthy and the how you're deceived by the drug companies in general. He talks about
the dairy farmers and the beef industry and all that, right?
Yes, sir. He has a section about, he says, anybody that eats beef is crazy and insane. That he cites a book that was written that shows in detail how that the mad cow disease is really here in full force, but being suppressed, of course, because it's a huge market. And
the beef producers would go out of business if you knew what was in that beef. Okay, then what else?
They are stating that it has actually jumped species, and it's a disease that's hitting humans now. And they say this 9,000% rise in Alzheimer's in the last 20 years. A lot of those, they say, is not for sure Alzheimer's. And what he's saying is that this brain disease is a result of mad cow disease.
And it's a result of all the beef that's being eaten in this country, right?
Yes, sir.
And also, naturally, all the dairy products come from cows.
Yes.
And so, you know, this stuff is in them. These are bodies of creatures that have life in them that also are able to be diseased and pass their diseases on to we humans. And so I didn't know any of this, but I know when the Lord talks to me, and he told me that stay away from it. Don't eat it, because he wants me to be around for a few more years, quite a few more years, to preach the gospel. And, you know, the Lord says, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
So, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. So, understanding, it takes years for you to acquire the understanding, and it takes years for you to receive the full wisdom of the Lord. Now, I receive wisdom right away from the Lord. I'm scared to death of him. I don't have a reverential, oh, God, you're just a nice old man with a bald head sitting on a rocking chair up in heaven, and I'll just pat you on the head. I'll be reverential to you. That isn't God. God is sitting down there, and the place is like smoke coming out of where he is because he's so powerful. And he is far just as vibrant today as he ever was, and he will always be the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And so we have to listen to what he says, because he is all wisdom, all knowledge, and all understanding. All right, so we have some letters. We get letters, and some people write us and say that they were witch doctors and all kinds of, into stuff that you just, somebody have never heard of in your life. I've heard of it because I've been around for 72 years. There isn't much around that I haven't seen or heard of and read about. But, you know, it seems like the complexity of the world today is moving every day. It's an entirely new world because of the way that things are rapidly winding up. One day, it's people are fearful of something, and then the next day, it's like 1,000 times more fearful. Like, all of a sudden, it's the people from Iraq that they're using as the smoke screen, because people don't want you to believe that the Antichrist is really Rome, the world government, and the media. Then the next day they say, because we're getting too close to home, we're revealing the Vatican so much in the world government and the media, world media at large, that they went and tossed in North Korea, Iran, the Arabs, the Muslims. Everybody is the problems today except the Vatican, and the Vatican is the one that's stirring everybody up. And they're doing that to confuse you, because Satan is the author of confusion. It's the commies, it's the Russians, it's the Chinese. It's the ACLU. Well, the ACLU is a branch of the Vatican. But you can't kill a tree by breaking one of the branches off. You have to get down to the root. And the root is Rome. We're not asking to kill it, we're just exposing it, okay? because we pray for people. Because prayer is our shield. Pray wards off all the fiery darts that come from Satan. And so I attack the root. And no matter how many confusing things the Vatican and the media says that it is doing the things in the world today, I know that if I don't get off the root, Satan's seat, the dragon, the great red dragon, the devil's seat is Rome, Italy. And don't ever lose sight of that. They know, they figure that we're all a bunch of cattle, that we're all a bunch of chickens, you know, that they throw wheat over here and we all run over there. Then they throw wheat over their shoulder and we go running after the wheat over there like a bunch of chickens. Or they'll throw it outside the fence and we'll bludgeon ourselves against the fence to try to get to the wheat that they throw outside there. But no, the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil, but in this world government, its cult that controls it, and the media, all their major interest is money. They don't care about human lives. They want to control the world. And what they want to do is they want to destroy other countries because of a regime change. They want to change the regime and put one of the Vaticanites henchmen in charge of the countries so that they can fully control the world. Now, the ones they don't fully control yet, and you'll never control those Arabs. God has to put an end to them and the Palestinians. Now, the Palestinians, we love them. The Jews love Palestinians and they love the Arabs. But what they have to do is put an end to Rome. Rome has to be put to an end because they are the ones, they get a few hundred of their goons and they go into a country and start stirring up the nuts. And start stirring up the naive people. And you just got to keep your mind on the Lord all the time and what he says. He said it's Rome that is the one world church. It is Rome that is the one world government. And it is Rome that is the media at large, most of the media, major media. And so if you think that it's the ACLU, and like there's a good old brother in Florida that says, it's the ACLU, we got to do all you're doing over there. What's his name in Fort Lauderdale, Florida? The older man.
Kennedy.
Yeah, James Kennedy. He keeps getting you fighting all the different branches of the Vatican. He never fights the Vatican. He wouldn't dare do that. If he did, he'd have as much persecution as I do. But what he does is he's, okay, everybody send thousands of dollars in here so we can fight the ACLU. They're taking over in America. They're the ones taking the Bible out of schools. They're the ones that's taking the Bible out of the courtrooms. But look it. The Apostle Paul never fought the ACLU or anybody. He just preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because that does the trick. Amen.
Amen.
That's what the devil doesn't like. He doesn't care if you come against President Bush or if you come against President Kennedy or whoever. He doesn't care if you are a Democrat or a Republican. You can fight with each other like that. You're just wasting your time. The Vatican is where the devil sits. That's his throne at Rome, Italy. And we know what church it is there, if you want to call it a church. That is the devil's church. And they're the ones that started up Muslim, the Mohammed religion. And they're the ones that are in charge of all this mess that's going on today. Now, the Arabs, on the whole, I lived in Israel. They like me. I'm Jewish. They said, you're Yehudi. And I said, that's right. I said, how can you tell? And they put their hand up to their face. Your faith, you know, I can tell you're Yehudi, which means Jew. And so they liked me. And I used to go up to Nazareth and go to a little coffee shop, an ice cream parlor up there, and this Arab, and I would sit and talk and have fun talking together about the Lord and everything. I mean, I was in prison for the gospel's sake, and I was in a cell with a Palestinian. He said, "We're going to just really blow everybody's mind here. They put us in here together because they know you're Jewish. They know I'm a Palestinian. And they're going to think, boy, we're going to kill each other in here." And he says, "You know, I know that the Palestinians love the Jews. And the Jews love the Palestinians. But the Vatican has put a rabble-rousing group in Palestine, what they call Palestine. And the Palestinians and the Jews live together, and they have, it is not the Palestinians against the Jews, or the Arabs against the Jews, as you would think. In Nazareth, that's strictly all Arabic. In Bethlehem, it's all Arabic there. And the Jews and the Arabs have been living together there for quite some time. But there's a bunch of people in there stirring up hatred. And so they're all from, in groups, branches of the Vatican causing all the trouble over there. And everywhere. They're the ones that's stirring up the trouble against Christianity here in this country. Now, we just saw a tape on television about Waco. And what it said on the tape is that President Clinton said that was the worst mistake he ever made in his life, was to slaughter those people at Waco. And then to turn around and say that there's a lot of cults in here in Arkansas. And I thought, this guy was, I thought, a friend of mine. And why is he saying that? But it really blessed me because he, on one of these rag sheets, where is that? We had it here with a picture of Clinton on the cover of it. It says that this is the National Examiner. On the cover of it is a picture of President Clinton, former President Clinton. And it says, "Clinton, I'm dying!" exclamation mark. His shocking confession. Well, I'm sure I've been praying for him to be saved, and it looks like maybe he is, because it seems like he is searching his soul and saying it's the worst mistake he ever made. He thought he was so right then. You know, God will accept you, President Clinton, former President Clinton, into the kingdom of heaven if you just keep on going the way that the media says that you're doing, that you're confessing your sins and saying it's the worst thing you ever did is to kill Christians. You know, what good is it to have power and fame and fortune in this world if you're lost? Because you go into a burning hell, and that isn't going to be any fun. Okay, well, we got some letters. Okay, where's the first letter from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay, let's read it, please.
"Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank the Lord for revealing your tapes entitled How to Have God's Life Living in You. We are very encouraged spiritually. My name is Pastor Evanstro. Your message tapes are life-changing. My testimony is as follows. Before I became born again, I was a witch doctor involved in consulting evil spirits, false prophecy, and taking people's money, especially material items. This work of darkness went on from 1978. I thought I was working for Jesus Christ, but was blinded by the devil. At that time, my eyes were seeing very clearly. As I continued to work for Satan, he then attacked me and destroyed my eyesight. This was in June 1996, when lightning struck my eyes from the devil's kingdom and I died."
Well, I don't really believe that was the devil that did that. I believe it was the Lord that did it to him, all right? Because he's doing all these evil works, and the Lord hit him, struck him with lightning, and blinded him. That sounds very much as what Christ did to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul talked about having a thorn in his flesh. The thorn in his flesh was that his eyes, even after the scales fell off of them, he was blinded, and his people took him into Ananias because the Lord said that he had to go to Ananias to get his eyes healed, or the scales to come off of his eyes. And that happened, but still he never had good eyesight. He even talks about look at this, he bragged about, look at this piece of literature that I have written here with my own hands. And then in another place he said, at one time you people believed that I was of the Lord so much that you would have given your very eyes to me if you could. And he knew that they really would have. So it shows that the thorn in his flesh, so many preachers don't read the Bible that much to be able to tell, or they don't study, that his eyes were bad. And that was the thorn in his flesh. They make up all kinds of stories of what it could have been, but it plainly states that it was his eyes. And so I believe the Lord blinded him and killed him and brought him up into the kingdom of heaven and gave him some instructions. The devil wouldn't have done that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so go ahead, because the Lord controls the lightning and the thunder. Okay, my mother was hit with lightning twice. People say that lightning doesn't strike twice. I'm just glad that after that happened to her, that I was born so I could do something for the Lord. Before, or if I would have been, you know, if she wouldn't have, if she would have died, I wouldn't have never been born. And there'd be a lot of people, satanic people in the world, that would be very thankful for that. Oh, yes, they would be. Okay, then go ahead.
I died and was taken to heaven. There I found a very nice place with a lot of light.
Nice is a understatement of all time. It's the most fantastic place. Okay, go ahead.
In heaven I met Jesus Christ, and he said, I am the doctor of doctors.
I believe that, because when I saw Jesus, I mean, I thought it would be such a frightening thing, but it wasn't. And he's talking the same way I do about Jesus. It was just like looking at the most handsome man in the world, in the universe. And it was like, just as clear as I see anybody in front of me now. It was even more clear because I could see better back then. I saw him with my eyes wide open. And then what?
He said that he shall heal me if I stop all the evil practices I was doing while on earth. Jesus Christ gave me these scriptures, Revelation 22:10.
Okay, read what Revelation 22:10 says.
And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.
So he's telling this man that the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. And it is. It's just that people are so sound asleep, even people that call themselves Christians, they think that it's in the far-off future. The Lord gave me the ministry of telling people that Jesus is coming back to earth again. And to me, it's been a wonder that it hasn't happened in 42 years. But I know that the Lord said if he did end the time, that no flesh would be able to endure. Now people are talking about slinging atomic bombs from North Korea, from Iraq, Iran, from Japan now, all different countries. And so there is so much fear that people are afraid to get out of their house. They're ordering everything for Christmas from the internet, many of the things. A lot of the malls are ghost towns because people, they're saying on the news now that 7 malls are going to be blown up. So in their right mind that isn't saved would go out on the streets and venture out to buy a pair of jeans or something when you can get them on the website, or to get a picture or whatever you order for Christmas. Then go ahead.
And also Galatians chapter 6, verse 7.
What does that say?
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yeah, so if you're sowing Satan, you're going to reap Satan. You're going to reap hell. But we're to sow the word of God, which is God, so that we can reap the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
You're not going to do that unless you really fear the Lord, because God said so. He says, people will not serve me if they don't fear me. All right? And people just, you know, they're so blasé, and they're so conditioned to be lazy, and to be, if they don't have money, they know to go to the government and be fed by the Antichrist rather than the Lord. And those kind of people I don't have any use for either. let's trust in the Lord. The children of Israel had to do that 40 years for their bread. And there was no grocery stores, no quick picks or anything like that. They picked their bread up off the ground every morning. Didn't they?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
He then told me to go back. Quote, I have sent you to go and do the works of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Since I came back from the dead, Jesus Christ has promised to give back my eyesight. Immediately, I was brought back, and I started giving people what I was stealing from them, like their money. I surrendered everything. I was using the African medicines, the uniform. I was using giving prophecy to do the lordship of Jesus Christ. I went to see a pastor directed by the Holy Spirit for deliverance. He burned everything, and God revealed through the pastor that I, Pastor Evanston, have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ into the ministry, and since then the work of God began. I give all the glory to Jesus Christ for saving my life. He is using me and working miracles, and people are being delivered from the chains of Satan, even mad people. My calling is not from man, but from God. We have opened a small community school so that people can be taught to read and write. We find it hard to pay these teachers because of financial problems, and we have no Bibles and Christian books to educate people willing to be saved by Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's send them the Messiah books, Bibles, tracts, and also some money every month. I'll tell you how much after the program.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
We also have 20 orphans and widows and are supported out of our church money. Evangelism in remote areas is very difficult, but we try by walking miles to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Tony, could you pray for me so that God can restore my sight as he has promised?
Yes, I already pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know that prayer is our shield, and we must, above all, lift up the shield of faith, which is prayer, as Moses did when he lifted up the shield of faith, which is prayer, so that he would stop slaughtering the people of Israel for building a golden calf and for committing fornication and adultery. And the Lord said, I'm going to kill them all, but I won't do it. I'll repent of doing it all at once, because I'll let them have children, and their children will serve me. And so he stopped. There was heaps of bodies of Jews that the Lord had killed because he had done that. And it was the prayer, one prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man that stopped the slaughter of all the Hebrew children. Now, the only two of that whole bunch that got into the promised land was two people, the old-timers. All the rest of them were the young. And these two people were Joshua and Caleb. All right, then what?
I know in God's own appointed time he shall fulfill it in Jesus' name.
Oh, amen. Then what?
Again, your messages are very encouraging. Your message tapes are also life-changing. Praise the Lord. Pastor Evanston from Kasama, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Now you have something else?
Yes, from South India.
Okay, let's hear it.
Respected Pastor Lamo, praise the Lord and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am very glad to inform you that I received your Telugu literature and 10 Telugu Bibles. Thank you so much. Sir, really, you showed love and compassion upon our ministry. We have distributed your literature among our church congregation and interior places. Really, your literature has been leading people from darkness to God's divine light. We are very thankful for you. Every day, I and our team are praying for you and your ministry all over the world. Here some people are very poor. They are unable to buy Bibles. These people are asking for Bibles. We need more in Telugu, and I humbly and prayerfully request you to send them for free distribution. Many people eat spiritual food through your Telugu literature, and they are very blessed.
Okay, well, let's send them some Telugu Bibles and literature that I've written. It's been translated into that language and into so many other languages. It's all free of charge. Then what?
Many non-Christians read your literature and accept Jesus Christ and are saved. I request you to please pray for me and our family. Here we are praying for you and your respective family, and also we are praying for brothers and sisters in your church. I will be waiting your kind reply. Sincerely, P.S. from Pettupudi, South India.
Okay, so he has the shield of faith. He's praying for people, and he knows that prayer is answered. If we ask, we're going to receive. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. And if we ask, we'll receive. If we knock, and if we just trust the Lord. Pray, raise up the shield of faith. Ask, seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Amen?
Amen.
So if you don't seek, if you don't ask, you're not going to receive anything. Let not that man think that he's going to receive anything unless he asks. You have not because you ask not. You have to have a shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts. Well, your shield, that is your prayer, you go up and ask the Lord when Satan's hitting you, is coming against you, is persecuting you, prosecuting you, and all this, and ask the Lord to put a stop to it and trust him that he'll do it. Because vain is the help of man. Attorneys are not don't help you that much. Because it is the Lord our God that treadeth down our enemies. That's the 60th Psalm, and it's the 108th Psalm as well. It is God that is our defense. It is God. Vain is the help of man, because it's God that treads down under our feet our enemies. But we have to ask. We have to seek. We have to knock. Okay, then what? You got another letter?
Yes, one more. Hello, Pastor Tony. The power of God affords me much pleasure to write you this letter. By the way, how are you? I hope by the grace of God you are fine as I am here in Ghana.
Oh, I am. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I pray for you too, brother. Then what?
I am a boy of 29 years old. One day I was listening to a radio and I heard you preaching. When you finished preaching, you said we should pray, so I closed my eyes and I prayed. When I finished praying, I felt like something has left me.
The devil has left you. Okay, then what?
I was so happy, and I got your address. I'm writing this to thank you for what you have done for me. Please.
No, it's Jesus that did it. I just showed Jesus to you, and then you, and the Lord did it for you. Praise the Lord. All right, then what?
I am a poor man. Can I get the things necessary for life? I beg you in the name of God, your son Joseph, from Kafora Dua, Ghana, Africa.
All right. In Africa, you know, a dollar goes a long way. And so I said, told them to send, I think it was, not much. You don't need a lot to help people over there. They sometimes get a dollar a month. So $5, $10 is a lot to them. Okay, then what? Okay, do we, is that it, Lydia?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so now let's continue on with the message from yesterday. This happens to be from the 12th chapter of Job. And let's go back to the sentence where it talks about, listen to this, boys and girls, the wisdom and understanding. You got that?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear that again.
Okay. Verse 11. Just as the mouth tastes good food and can also determine if it's bad food, so the ear tests the words it hears. Now check this out, you young people.
The young people of the world. The government has made you believe that you're the smart ones and that old people should be set, you know, just get into a coffin and close the door on it and stick it in the ground. And you expect people are going to do the same thing to you. That isn't the way it is. There is a tremendous blessing of being old by receiving all this wisdom and understanding and knowledge that we have. I would consider myself old because I believe I'm going to live at least another 30, 40 years. And I feel very healthy, strong, and it's because I listen to what the Lord says. Then go ahead and read it, though.
Verse 12.
Now listen to this, you kids.
Wisdom belongs to the aged.
It doesn't belong to you. God said it belongs to the aged. So no matter what your school teacher tells you, you should believe God rather than your school teacher or your mother, your dad, or somebody that seems to think that wisdom is full of the young people, and it isn't. It's just that you don't have it. you don't have experience. And so I'm not trying to tell, I'm telling you the truth, and if that offends you, well, that's just too bad. Then what?
Wisdom belongs to the aged, not to the young people, like the government wants you to believe, and the Antichrist regime, the Antichrist church in Rome, the media, the school system, the beast, the government. Wisdom belongs to the aged, and understanding is to those who have lived many years. Some of the people who I deal with on a daily basis, I'm talking about the children at the church and children outside the church, and much people much younger than myself, they ask for instruction, and when you give it to them, they don't want to receive it.
See, I'm giving them the instructions from the Lord, and a lot of people today are made to believe that the Lord is corny. No, you're corny. The way that you people are doing things today are so corny that they're going to get you in hell. All you're doing is repeating things that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah did many years ago, and they got burned up. And the Lord says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And being it is that they got burned up, it's amazing to me that you don't have enough sense to know that if God hated them back then, He still hates them today. Now, the people of the world, the old world, were drowned because there was so much sin and violence on the earth. Well, there's millions of times more of sin and violence on the world today. And so God is not going to kill people with gentle raindrops. No, He's going to burn this world to a crisp. And everything in it that doesn't belong to God, that hasn't received Him, that thinks that God is a cornball and that you people are smart, especially you young folks that are on drugs and free sex and homosexuality, lesbianism, murdering your own children. You people are despicable, and you need to repent, because I'm not against you. I'm trying to lead you out of this horrible, sinful way of living that you've chosen to live. And you must choose the Lord and His way, because He's not going to let sinful people into the kingdom of heaven. This whole life is not going to occur again, because the kingdom of heaven only receives that which is righteous. That means only those that believe the way God believes and does the things that God does. Now, the Lord showed us the right way to live by coming into this world, and He says, now follow me, follow the way that I lived. And He gives us the power through the entire Godhead. When God impregnated Mary with Christ, it was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that impregnated her. It was because God isn't three different gods. It's like they're three are one. So when the Holy Spirit, which is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, entered into her womb, that was the full Godhead that entered into Mary's womb and gave the byproduct, which was God, the man, the God-man that was born from Mary, the Virgin. So, the full Godhead was in Him. He said, the Father's with me, the Holy Spirit's with me, the words that I speak are not my own, but they're the Father, and the Father is the Holy Spirit. So I'm the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when God enters into you, it's also the triune God, not one part of the Godhead. When we're asking Jesus to come into us, we're asking the fullness of the Godhead bodily to enter us to save our soul, because the Bible plainly states that He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So it isn't just Jesus. And you people that are young, you don't know these things. You have to experience it. And the people know the Bible, but they don't have God in their heart. So knowing the Scriptures, the devil knows the Scriptures, but knowing the Scriptures without having Christ in your heart, without having the empathy of God living in you, without letting God live out His life in you, without your former life being dead and buried with Christ and resurrected with Christ, you're not truly a Christian. Now, you've got to get God not only in your head, but down into your heart. There has to be the trickle-down system. And when he comes into your heart, well, then when there's something that is offensive or something that is satanic, God rises up in you with righteous indignation, and then he starts controlling your mouth and makes your mouth do what he wants it to do. And that is that you preach his word and rebuke people that are believing the Antichrist doctrine that is in the world today. And you have to keep your eyes focused on the Lord and focus on where all this is coming from. And it's Rome, Italy. But they have their tentacles. They have these branches all over the world. Many of the branches is ACLU and the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, the people that are the Jesuits. And all their universities, and now they've gotten into our school system, the public school system, and they're everywhere. It's like Avril Manhattan stated that they're like termites. They have bored themselves into every fiber of not only the different places in the United States, into the media, into the government, into the churches, everywhere. Into the school system, but all over the world. And so let's continue on here. You know, you've got to believe what the Lord says, or in focus that this is from Rome, these people. Go ahead.
People much younger than myself, they ask for instruction, and when you give it to them, they don't want to receive it. It's because they think they're smarter, that they have more wisdom and understanding
than God. How could anybody be so foolish? They have to really be deceived. The Bible says the whole world will be deceived in these last days. And they are. Then what?
They think they're smarter, that they have more wisdom and understanding than those who have lived many years. On the other hand, verse 13, true wisdom and power are with God. And if the aged are with God, we have the power. It takes years and years and years for you to acquire the power. If your pastor is teaching you what the Bible says, and he can show it to you in the Bible, then you must believe the wisdom and power of God, because true wisdom and power are with God.
God is the Word. Okay, then what?
If we're of the Lord, we're in his body. Counsel and understanding are the Lord's. So when someone is telling you what the Lord says, receive it. Verse 14. What he destroys cannot be rebuilt. If God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, it cannot be rebuilt.
And if he did that to Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to do it to colonies. Don't you know when he wrecked San Francisco? Yeah, that was a warning. This is the beginning of sorrows. The best is yet to come. Then what?
Or if God destroys you, you can't be rebuilt, or me. When he closes in on someone, there is no escaping him. Verse 15, if he holds back the rain, the earth becomes a desert. If he releases the waters, they flood the earth. Verse 16, yes, strength and wisdom are with him the Word, with him the Spirit, not from those who just read the Bible, who know what it says, but they don't know what it means.
It's not in their heart. It's not in their soul. They don't serve him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They just read. And head knowledge is not enough. Then what?
Deceivers and the deceived are both in his power. He can destroy the deceivers and those who are deceived, because they are both in his power, in his hand. Verse 17, he takes counselors away, he leads them away, stripped of good judgment. He drives judges to madness, he makes madmen out of them.
Right, because they're ruling totally against his word, and they turn insane. I've seen one judge after the other go crazy. Because they refuse to, they think they're smart. And they're not. They're like little children in the eyes of God. And he tells them, you know, get saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell. Then go ahead.
Verse 18, he removes the royal robe of kings and sets them on a dunghill, with a girdle or with ropes around their waist. They are led away by the Lord.
The King James says girdle. Okay, a girdle is like a belt or a rope. Then what?
Because they destroyed people, and the Lord destroys them. They did it to themselves. Verse 19, The Lord leads priests away stripped of status. He overthrows the mighty. Verse 20. He silences those who are trusted advisors, and he removes the insight of the elders if they are not continuing on with him. Verse 21. He pours disgrace upon princes, and he confiscates weapons from the strong. Verse 22. God floods the darkness with the light. God brings light to the deepest gloom. Verse 23. God raises up nations and he destroys them. God makes nations expand and he abandons them. Verse 24. He takes away the understanding of kings.
Well, I see this, your Diocese of America, which was the strongest in the world. Now we're number 60 or 70 or even 80 in some cases. Then what? So he's destroying this country because they're taking God out of school, God out of the courtrooms, God out of everywhere. Keep going.
He takes away the understanding of kings, and he leaves them wandering in a wasteland without a way to go. Verse 25, all of them grope in the dark without a light, without his word, without his spirit to direct them. He makes them stagger like drunkards, unquote. This is why our own wisdom in terms of us having our own autonomy, in other words, having our own terms of how we're going to live our life, the autonomy of man, there's no such thing. Man will be man. They'll be chaff because what they think is myth. It's a myth. It's mythological and very irrational. There were some Christians who wanted to go to the gym the other day, and I told them, go ahead. I took about an hour nap, and I had a dream. This dream was very significant. Dreams really had an important part in the book of Daniel. Men, when they receive dreams and they don't know what the dreams mean, the people are tormented by the ghost of the future and the unknown.
They don't want to hear prophecy. It's okay.
His mind is constantly mindful against his wishes. They don't want to be thinking of the dreams. When I get a dream, I tell it. Man's rebellion and the insanity of his claims. Daniel tells the dream and the people are offended because he told them what is going to happen. If I tell what the Lord has given me, people are offended. So when you're predicting something, you're predicting prophecy. But it isn't anything that I predict, it's what the Lord tells me. That is predictive prophecy. What it is just the plainest form of that which is about to happen. It's actually unpoetic. It's blunt and unmistakable, written on its claim in the 6th century B.C. by Daniel. What it does is it charts the course of empires, and has done that for many centuries and into the future. It sets forth the coming of Christ and the establishment of the church, and does all this with a specific and singular confidence that this is not only the revelation from the Lord, but the manifestation of God's normal and continuing government of men and of nations.
Okay, and so we'll continue this tomorrow. I see my time is up. Those of you that want to have the wisdom of the Lord, the knowledge, and more than anything is to have salvation, say this prayer. Say to the Lord, and mean it with all your heart and soul, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Raise your hands. Praise the Lord. Thank him. Ask for a copy of this tape here, and I'll tell you how. Go ahead real fast, because we only have a couple minutes here.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, so anything you have in this world, you can't take it with you. If you die before you go on to be with the Lord, you're going to not be able to take anything you have. So here's the song that I sang. It's called You Can't Take It With You.
In a turmoil by the sidewalk, somewhere someone left to meet their fate. Other people stand around and just talk when they could do more.
on a dusty bay. Everybody's sweating about the dollar, yelling, can he save his penny earth? How's it gonna help them when they holler if it sends them to a place to burn? You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. Help somebody turn a tear to laughter. Meet some Ariton along your way. There's no social standings in hereafter. Everybody dies the same old way. You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. When you help somebody be free, you can't shut the Lord now, don't you know? Helping others can be fun to feel, 'cause you can't take it with you when you go. No, you can't take it with you when you go.